Well, God's good. Get your Bibles and open up to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 32. If you're happy you're here this morning, would you say amen? Amen. Deuteronomy chapter number 32. And stand with me when you find your place in the Word of God, Deuteronomy 32. And look in verse number 11. And I want to say once again that it is an honor to be here. I never take it lightly whenever I have an opportunity to stand behind another man's pulpit and preach to his people. And I appreciate the opportunity, and I hope the Lord will give us a wonderful meeting this week. Deuteronomy 32 and 11 says, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him." Now that's talking about Moses. "And there was no strange God with him." Now notice verse number 13, this next statement. The Bible says he made him ride on the high places of the earth. Friend, I don't know if there is anything more important for you and I to do than to get to the place in our Christian life to where we are totally dependent upon God. When we get to the point where we just trust the Lord, but we realize we're just along for the ride. Now listen, this morning, I don't know what your ambitions are. I don't know what you want out of your Christian life. I don't know what you want God to do for you as an individual. But as for me, I want to know about those high places. I want to know what it's like to soar. I want to know just how far and how high God can take me. I definitely don't want to look back at the end of my life and say that I never flew. Amen. Hey, listen, friend, we were born to fly. That's why we were created. That's what God intended us to do. God has a plan, a purpose for each and every life that is in here this morning. That's what I want to preach about this morning, message that I've entitled, Born to Fly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'd bless in this service time. Lord, I pray that this would be the message that we need for the hour. Lord, I pray that you'd give me, Lord, your power as I preach. And Lord, if there be someone here today that are not saved, Lord, I pray that you'd convict them. Lord, they'd not leave this place the same, but Lord, they'd come down to this altar, Lord, and trust Jesus Christ to be their personal Savior. Lord, maybe someone here today are backslidden. I don't know, Lord, but I pray that you'd help them to find what they're looking for. Lord, I pray if there be someone here that are maybe just discouraged or a little bit weary, Lord, I pray they'd find the peace that they need at these altars today. Bless, I pray, this service in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. It has been said that the eagle flies highest of all the birds. It is thence called the bird of heaven. The eagle can fly directly upward until he is completely out of sight. No other bird can do that. The bald eagle, they say, can fly at an altitude of 10,000 feet. And at level flight can average speeds of up to 30, 35 miles an hour. He's a magnificent animal. And there's no doubt that is the reason why we as Americans look to the bald eagle as our symbol of our independence and pride and free spirit. The eagle is the king of the sky, soaring directly into the sun, crying freedom. There is nothing to which he can be compared. He advances solidly like a great ship, cleaving the swells and thrusting aside the smaller waves. And he is willing to sail directly where lesser birds would be rocked and tilted by the air currents. And his body's strong. He was designed to withstand the harshest of environments. And he dwells on the mountaintops. And he rides the high places of the earth. You do not find the eagles crawling the earth, scratching around for food. He's not designed to crawl. He was born to fly. It's always amazed scientists, preacher, that they say about these eagles whenever they hatch their young, it's always amazed them how these eagles, generation after generation, always know exactly where to migrate. They say these eagles, when they're born, he said the strange part about it is that the young eagles usually will leave and migrate before their parents. And these eagles will show up at the same place that their parents are going to. And these eagles have never been there before. They've never flown there before. Their instinct just takes them there. And it amazes them that they know exactly where to go. It's almost as if though they're there being led by the hand of God. Hey, listen, friend, I don't know about you, but I want to get to the place in my Christian life where I can just learn to trust God for my direction and my strength, and get to the place in my Christian life where I've just got enough faith to say, God, I know that I'm going through a hard time, and I don't understand why I'm going through the things that I am, but Lord, I'm just going to put my faith in you because I know that you know where I'm heading and you know what I'm going through. Friend, I don't think there's anything more inspiring in all the world than to get around a mature Christian and see their example. I'm talking about Christians that have served God for so long, and they've lived right for so long, and they've read their Bibles for so long, and they've been faithful to church for so long, that serving the Lord for them just seems effortless. You know what I'm talking about? You get around certain people, and it seems like you never see them shook up about anything. You never see them worried. You never see them doubting that the Lord's going to see them through. You want to know why some Christians are like that in their Christian walk with God? Because they've trusted God for so long that they just have confidence that God's going to see them through. And listen, friend, it seems like they're never affected by the weather. It seems like they're never wearied by the strong winds. It's because, friend, they have rode on the high places with God for so long that it's not hard for them to trust God. It's not hard for them to stay faithful. They're not working on staying close to God. They're soaring with God. And that's the way I want to live my Christian life. Well, I tell you what, I was talking this morning about a trip I took to Alaska, and I'll never forget flying in there. We flew right by Mount McKinley and over some ice glaciers and icebergs and things, and I'd never seen an iceberg before, so I was looking forward to seeing what one looked like. But you can always tell an iceberg from all the rest of the pieces of ice that are in the ocean. A lot of times, if you don't know what you're looking for, you won't be able to tell which is which. Because, man, you get out in that Arctic Ocean, and, man, that there's pieces of ice floating around that are the size of this church. And a lot of times, those icebergs, man, you'll see just a little bit of ice sticking up. But underneath the water, man, there'll be a whole mountain of ice under there. But all you see is the tip. That's what we say, the tip of the iceberg. But if you're ever looking for an iceberg, you ever want to see what one looks like, the way to tell which one is which is an iceberg is usually floating in the opposite direction of all the rest of the pieces of the ice. You say, why is that? Well, all those pieces of ice on the surface, all those pieces of ice, although they're big, although many of them are large, they're being moved in the same direction by the wind, by the surface waters. And whichever way the wind blows, that's the way those pieces of ice move. But that iceberg, brother, it's deep and it's large. And there's a man underneath that water. It may go down for hundreds of feet. You see, those icebergs are not being pushed around by the wind. They're being moved by the power of the ocean's strong undercurrent. And friend, whenever it comes to my Christian life, I don't want to be moved by every little wind that blows. I don't want to be changed by every trend that comes along. Friend, I want to be moved by the power of God. Brother, I tell you what. You say, Brother Randy, we just need to go with the flow. We just need to go with what's popular. No, the Bible said, is the way which leadeth to destruction. Narrow is the path to life. Amen. Hey, listen, friend, I just want to learn to depend on God. I want to be moved by the Spirit of God in my Christian life. And you hear me this morning, dear friend, you will never again be satisfied with the lowlands after you've soared the high places with God. You'll never want for anything else. Let me say first of all this morning, I want some of you young people to listen closely to what I'm about to say in the next few minutes. One of the most important things we can learn about the eagle, and I found this to be very interesting. One of the things we can learn about these eagles is the first flight for the eagle is usually the most dangerous, the most hazardous. It's been said that approximately 40% of eagles do not survive their first flight. I'd be willing, Brother Lance, to step out on a limb this morning and say that the fatality rate among Christian kids leaving the nest is probably twice that high. The first flight is usually the most dangerous. Most of them do not make it. They crash on the rocks below. Brother, I've seen it happen to a lot of our good kids, man. They're trained right. They grow up in good Christian homes. They grow up in church. Many of them grow up in Sunday school. But man, they get to the point where they get out of high school and all of a sudden, man, they go wild. They go ballistic. They go crazy. Something is not right there, my friend. And there's going to come a time in you young people's lives where you are all of a sudden going to have freedom to do things that you've never been able to do before. You're not going to have anybody to watching out for you, anybody making your rules for you. Hey, listen, I tell you what, man, the day I graduated from high school, my life changed forever. I'm telling you, I don't think there is any event that has ever happened to me that has changed my life more than the day I graduated. Man, all of a sudden you're forced out into the adult world. And man, you got to make your own decisions. There's going to come a day, young people, you're going to be paying your own bills, doing your own thing. Hey, listen, it's important that you begin to learn to grow and walk with God. You realize that probably the most important decisions that people make in their lifetime, the most important decisions they make, they usually make between the ages of about 18 and about 23. You realize that? Most of the time, during those few years, you choose where you're going to go to college. You choose what kind of occupation you're going to pursue. You're going to choose who you're going to marry many times during those years. I'm talking about huge life-changing decisions that some of you young people will be making the next few years. Hey, listen, man, that's why it's important to begin to walk with God. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 32 and verse number 11, as an eagle stirreth up her nest and fluttereth over her young, what that mother eagle will do whenever it's time for that child to begin to learn how to fly, she'll begin to make that nest uneasy. She'll begin to flutter over them, trying to encourage them to get out and do something. And those eagles, man, I tell you what, eagles are magnificent animals. How many of you have ever seen a live eagle before? A few of you have. I tell you what, there's nothing more breathtaking to me than to watch an eagle soaring through the sky. I remember I was preaching in Bettendorf, Iowa. Oh, this was a few years ago. And when I came up, it was around this time of year. I believe it was in March. And I was pulling into this city. And when I did, this city's right along the Mississippi River, right on the border of Illinois and Iowa. And as I was coming across that river, man, I remember seeing these huge birds everywhere. I mean, these huge birds soaring through the sky and up in trees and all kind of stuff. And I remember thinking to myself, what in the world are these huge birds? I said, I know they're not buzzards. They may be a hawk or something like that. Surely they wouldn't be eagles. I mean, it's Iowa. You don't think you go to Iowa to find an eagle. You think you go to the Rocky Mountains or something like that. But man, here I am in Bettendorf, Iowa. I asked the preacher, I said, what in the world are all these huge birds I'm seeing? He said, man, them are bald eagles. I said, you're kidding, man. In Iowa, eagles? He said, believe it or not, he said, but this is the eagle capital of the world. He said that this time of year, there are more eagles that follow the Mississippi River and migrate through here than any other place in the world. I'm talking about hundreds of eagles everywhere. I mean, they were up in the trees. The Mississippi River, it was breaking up and the ice was all breaking up and there would be huge chunks of ice floating down the Mississippi River. And friend, I'm not exaggerating. I'm not pulling your leg this morning, but I'd look down that Mississippi River and there would be like five eagles sitting on a chunk of ice floating down the river. I mean, eagles everywhere. I remember I wanted to get some pictures of them. And so I saw this eagle up in this tree and I began to try to get as close to it as I can. And I'm taking pictures of it. And what I was trying to do, I was wanting them to fly. And man, sure enough, that eagle flew right over top of me and I got shots of them. Well, about that time, as soon as I got those pictures of that eagle, a police officer saw what I was doing. And man, he turned his lights on. He came, pulled up beside me, and he said, what do you think you're doing, young man? I said, I'm getting pictures of these eagles. And he said, didn't you see that sign over there? And I looked, he pointed to a sign, and I could see this little white sign. I mean, it was way over there. And I walked up to it, and the sign says, do not come within 500 yards of the eagles. And I asked the police officer, I said, sir, I'm not trying to be smart aleck whatsoever. But how was I supposed to read that sign from 500 yards away? And he understood. He said, listen, man, we're just trying to protect these things. But I couldn't believe the power of those birds, the strength those birds have. They say that an eagle, many times they make their nest in usually the highest trees or cliffs or things like that, mountaintops. But they say that those nests that those eagles make can sometimes be as big as 9 feet in diameter. They're huge animals. I mean, magnificent birds. And what those mothers will do is that young eaglet begins to get older and strong enough. The mother will begin to take its comfort away from him by removing all the soft feathers from the bottom of the nest. And that will expose all the thorns that are beneath, making the only place comfortable for that little eaglet to stand right on the edge of the nest. And that little eaglet will become restless and unable to lie down. And then that mother will begin to literally starve her young. She'll starve them. Well, I tell you, parents, man, you got some deadbeats hanging around the house you can't seem to get rid of. Man, lock up the fridge and the cabinets. It'll work every time. Amen. And she begins to starve them. And each day passes by and the little eaglet gets thinner and thinner and his muscles start to become more lean. And for the first time in his life, this little eaglet finds himself completely alone with no one to comfort him. And often his mother will swoop down over the nest carrying a nice plump jackrabbit or squirrel to taunt him with. And then he'll jump up and down on the edge of the nest, flapping his wings, half airborne for a moment or two. But then the Bible says in Deuteronomy 32:11, the Bible says that she spreadeth abroad her wings. You know what she's doing? She is teaching him how to fly. She's saying, hey, son, this is how you do it. This is how it's supposed to be done. This is how you fly, son. Hey, let me tell you something, parents, this morning. You know what we need? We need some parents that will teach their children how to fly. I'm not just talking about things of this world. I'm not just talking about things like that. I'm talking about spiritually as well. I'm talking about teaching them how to live right, teaching them how to walk with God, teach them how to depend on God, teach them how to soar. Amen. And finally, this young eaglet, man, he's there by himself and he's alone. And when the night falls, he begins to shiver as a late frost comes and hits the valley. And then when the night winds ruffle his feather and chill his body. But then by the time the sunlight reaches the nest edge, boy, he goes and he seeks its warmth once again. And now he's bounded in the wind and he's more light and firm muscled this time. And all of a sudden, a parrot flies by again, this time with a nice young prairie dog in his talons. And that eagle, man, he almost loses his balance in eagerness for that food. And again, the parent swings by again, this time closer, upwind, riding an updraft by the nest, as if though daring that little eaglet to fly. Man, he'll be jumping up and down and screaming and squalling and half starved to death. And then suddenly, a gust of wind catches his wings. And for the first time in his life, he finds himself airborne. Flying by himself. Man, he gets out there and he's flapping around and he's floundering a little bit, and all of a sudden he begins to lose his balance. All of a sudden he begins to lose his bearings and he begins to fall. And that little eagle will begin to fall faster and faster and faster until he almost crashes on the ground below. And then that mother, what she'll do is she'll swoop down, she'll tuck her wings back, and with all of her speed and with all of her strength, she'll swoop down and she'll catch that little eaglet right before he splats on the rocks. That little eaglet, man, he'll hold on to the back of that mother and she will fly straight up into the sun as fast as she can fly. And man, that eaglet will be hanging onto her back and he'll be screaming and he'll have his little talons dug into her feathers as tight as he can hold on. But she'll fly higher and higher and faster until he can't hold on no longer and he'll fall off. He'll try to fly and he'll try to flap his wings and he'll try to stay up. And as he's falling faster and faster and faster, she'll fly down beside him and she'll be screaming out with all of her might as if they're saying, come on, son, fly. Come on, spread your wings. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. And right before he falls, she'll catch him again until she teaches that young bird how to fly. They say that those mothers, if their little eaglets will not learn to fly, if they do not catch on, after a while that mother will take her up and she'll drop him. And if he don't learn how to fly, she'll let him fall. She'd rather he die than never fly, than never do what he's supposed to do. Hey, listen, friend, I don't believe that there's a parent in here this morning who doesn't have the same dream for their children. And that is, when it's time for their children to fly, that they will much oftener fly upward toward heaven and not downward toward hell. One of these days, young person, everything you've ever been taught about life is going to be tested. Mom and dad standing back there watching your life. They're waiting to see what you're going to be. Your preacher standing by and he's anxious, waiting to see if you're going to make it or not. And all the love you've been given, all the prayers that have been prayed for you, all the sacrifice that have been made to bring you up and give you a good education, it's all going to come down to you at some point, and you're going to have to take your flight. You're going to have to do what God intended you to do. No doubt we have some folks in here this morning that you haven't been in church a long time. But you know God has something for you. Let me tell you something this morning, dear friend. You were born to fly. If you are a saved, born-again Christian, God has something for you to do. And it's time for you to start doing your part. It's time for you to start getting involved. Spread your wings. God's got something for you to do. Ride the high places. Ride the high places. Hey, listen, you young people. There's not a thing in this world that I am more happy about and that I am more proud of than the fact that I can look in the face of my mother and father and know that I've never had to break their heart. I'm glad that whenever my mom and dad go to sleep at night, they don't have to lay asleep worrying where their son is, worrying what their son is into. But I thank God for that. Amen. You see, young person, whenever your parents look at you, you have to understand, they don't see you as that all grown up young man or woman that you are today. They see that bright-eyed, fuzzy-head little baby they brought back from the hospital when you were born. They don't see you as all mature and big. They see that little baby that they remember playing in the mud, playing with their rubber ducky in the bathtub. Amen. Holding that teddy bear at night while you're sleeping. Hey, listen, young people, always give your parents something that they can be proud of. And God the Father is looking down from heaven. He's looking upon my life, looking upon your life. And he wants us to shine. He wants us to be what he knows we can be. He wants us to do the things that he knows we are capable of doing. Friend, we have got to ride the high places and spread our wings and soar like the eagles. Another thing we can learn from these eagles is they always have to keep fresh feathers. Always keep fresh feathers. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Turn to the book of Isaiah quickly. If you're still with me this morning, say amen. Isaiah chapter number 40. Notice this verse. Isaiah chapter 40. And look at verse number 31. Now this verse will be familiar to many people in here this morning. There's a few important things I want to point out. Isaiah 40 in verse number 31. The Bible says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." The Bible says that we are to mount up. What is that talking about? When the Bible says mount up, that is literally referring to how an eagle renews its feathers. And when it renews its feathers, it renews its strength. A lot of times those feathers will get old and they won't be as strong as they used to be. They won't be as buoyant. They won't be able to fly as fast as they used to fly. And so those eagles have to go through a molting period where they molt off all of those old feathers and renew those feathers with brand new ones, with strong ones. The Bible says in Psalm 103 and verse 5, "Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles?" Friend, there are going to be times when you're going to have your feathers renewed and your strength restored. And there's going to be days when you're going to become too weak to soar. And brother, I'll be honest with you. There are times when trials coming down and bombard our life. Just because we're Christians don't mean we're exempt from it, friend. Sometimes things get hard. And sometimes good people have to experience terrible things, and we don't know why bad things have to happen to good people. Hey, but listen, dear friend, I'm here to tell you that if you're not careful, you'll forsake those high places that you once used to love. And if you don't renew those feathers, you'll find yourself sitting in church ready to quit. You'll find yourself sitting there where the songs never stir you. The preaching never blesses your heart. You'll find yourself coming down to the altar and trying to pray, but it seems like your prayers don't get anywhere, and you'll sit out there and you'll feel like God's not even a million miles away from you, friend. Every once in a while, you've got to have your strength restored. You've got to have those feathers renewed. That's why we have revival meetings. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What does that word wait mean? You ever thought about it? Whenever God says we're to wait on the Lord, that doesn't mean we're supposed to sit around twiddling our thumbs, hoping that God shows up and takes care of us. That's not what the Bible's talking about when he says to wait. It's not talking about waiting or sitting around. That word wait there literally means to rely. The Bible says they that wait, they that rely upon the Lord. Hey, listen, friend, that's how we have our strength restored. The Bible says this. Notice this, friend. I'm getting somewhere. He said in Psalm 84 and verse number 7 that they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. You know what we've got to do as Christians? We have got to renew those feathers. And that takes us from strength to strength. You know what I've got to do as a believer? I've got to stay faithful to church. You know why? Because that's where my strength comes from. From the fellowship with God's people, from the music, from the preaching. I've got to have a walk with God. I've got to have a time of devotion in my life. You know what that is doing? That is taking me from strength to strength. Now, I know some people, they are so spiritual. They are so godly. They are so holy that they've only got to come to church twice a year at Christmas and Easter. Brother, I must be wicked. I'm in a revival. I'm in service almost every day of my life. Amen. I've got to get all I can get. Because, brother, by the time Sunday's finished, and man, I leave Sunday, man, I'm excited. I'm ready to serve God. But then I go through Monday, and I go through Tuesday, and I go through all day Wednesday. By the time Wednesday night rolls around, brother, I need Wednesday night Bible study. By the time Sunday rolls around again, I need that. I'm going from strength to strength to strength. I used to have an old green car. It was an old Mercury Zephyr. And, man, it was all wore out. It was ugly. It was like a pus green. And, man, the paint was half faded off of it. A bunch of neighborhood kids had scratched their names all in it, you know. Ugly old car. But my dad gave me that car when I was just a boy. I think I was probably only 9 or 10 when Dad gave me that car. You say, what? Your dad gave you a car when you were 10? You have to understand, I'm from West Virginia. We do things a little differently in West Virginia than the rest of the world does. Amen. But we live out in a big campground, and man, I used to drive that car around like a go-kart, you know. Now, that car only had reverse and second gear. Those are the only gears that worked in that car. Now, I know now that that car was ugly as sin. And now, I would not want to be caught dead in that car. But back then, man, I thought I was hot stuff. Man, I thought my car was the best, was the fastest. And brother, I guarantee you that car didn't pass up very many gas stations. Man, I pulled in it. I'd be broke if I had that car right now because it guzzled the gas. Man, I tell you, that car could barely just go from one pump to the next. But you know what? I'm the same way. Brother, I got to go from one filling station to the next, to the next, to the next. I got to go from one church service to the next. I got to go from my one devotion time to the next devotion time, the next devotion time. You know what I'm doing? I'm renewing my strength. Amen. I'm renewing my strength. And friend, there are going to be many times in our Christian life where our strength is going to be tested. I guarantee it. There's going to come times in our Christian life where if we're not careful, we'll get bitter at God. You say, Brother Randy, it can't happen to me. Friend, I've seen it happen to a lot of good people. And something terrible, some tragedy will come in their life, and the next thing you know, you're sitting around wondering why God would do this to you, why God would allow this to happen to your family. Friend, I don't know why things happen like they do sometimes, but all I can say is we see one side of a problem. God sees the side that we don't see. We've got to remember that. Can you imagine this morning if we were to walk into the hospital and we were to walk into the surgery room? We walk in on a doctor that's performing open heart surgery. Now, we have never seen anybody have open heart surgery before. We didn't know what it was. We had never heard of it before. We had never read about it. But all we see whenever we walk into that surgery room is this doctor sawing this guy open, pulling his ribs apart and all that kind of stuff, and operating on that man. We're going to think to ourselves, my soul, what in the world is that doctor doing to that man? What kind of a sick person is he? Hey, but listen, friend, you and I, we know what open heart surgery is. We know that doctor is only trying to save that man's life. Understand, we see one side of a problem, but God sees the side that we don't see and the side we don't understand. I don't know why things happen like they do, but friend, I do know that God is always good and God is always right. We got to remember that. Amen. Hey, listen, we got to go from strength to strength. We got to soar like the eagles. There's an old fable that talks about a man who found an eagle's egg while he was out in the woods one day, and he took this eagle's egg home with him and put it in his nest with the rest of his chickens. And then when this chicken hatched, he hatched with all the rest of the chicks and grew up with them. And all his life, man, he did what those barnyard chickens did. He'd go around and he'd dig around for food, and he'd scratch for worms and insects, and he even tried to cackle and cluck and things like that, just like a chicken would. He'd thrash around with his wings every once in a while and fly a few feet in the air every now and then, but never really learned that he could fly. Years passed by and the eagle became very, very old. One day he saw a magnificent bird soaring in a cloudless sky. Man, he asked the rest of those chickens that were with him. He said, "Whoa, what is that?" And they said, "Well, man, don't you know? That's an eagle. And he's the king of the birds. He's the king of the sky." He said, "Boy, I sure wish I could do that." And they said, "Oh, well, listen, man, you have to understand something. That eagle, that's what he was born to do. He belongs to the sky, but we're chickens. We belong to the earth." And so as the story goes, the eagle became very old and eventually died. Lived his entire life without ever flying. Lived and died a chicken. That's what he thought he was. The point of the story is, it's a pity when we who are children of the King live as chickens when we could be soaring with the eagles. God wants us to do things with our lives. And friend, I'm talking about being involved. I'm talking about, hey, listen, taking your life to the next step and doing more for God. Hey, listen, we've only got one life to live. We've only got one shot to give it. When I give up to the judgment seat of God, I want to know that I tried my best to do whatever I could for Christ. Hey, listen, we have got to get a burden for our area, a burden to serve God. It's our time to soar. Man, I tell you what, stop telling yourself the will of God's only for the talented. It's not. It's for everybody. God's got a purpose and a plan for every life that's in here. You say, "Oh, Brother Randy, you don't understand. I plan on being a doctor." That's fine. I don't have a problem with anybody being a doctor. But have you ran it by God yet? Now, we make our plans for the future. We make our plans for our own life. But have you ever stopped to think, is God in those plans anywhere? Just asking. Hey, listen, friend, not only is it God's will, not only does God have a plan for us to serve Him, but it's also God's will that everybody gets saved. And if you're here this morning, you don't know what it means to be saved. Friend, it is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. The day you trust Jesus Christ to save you. I remember when it happened to me. I was a 12-year-old boy. And I remember sitting in that service under such conviction. And I knew if I was to die, I would have died and went to hell. Man, I went and I got down on my knees, and for the first time in my life, I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and save me from my sin. From that day forward, brother, I've been heaven bound. Thank God. Amen. Like one old fellow said, I'm glory bound with the hammer down. Amen. I'm saved. If you've never been saved, that's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Bible says this verse in Exodus 19 and verse 4. He said, "You've seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." You know what the Bible says? And listen, I believe there's not a more beautiful picture of salvation than this verse right here. He said, "I bear you on eagle's wings." Friend, that's a lot like salvation. Manuel Lee talked about that little eaglet a little while ago, how she'll ride on her mother's back. Brother, I guarantee you, that's a lot like what I did when I got saved. Brother, I just got along for the ride. And friend, I plan on being in heaven someday, but I'm not going to get there by myself. I'm going to get there relying on God and trusting in God to take me there someday. Amen. That's what salvation's all about. When you get saved, you're not trying to work your way there. You're not trying to be good enough to be there, friend. Listen, there's no way my good works could ever take me to heaven. I mean, how many good works did it take to get saved? 1 or 1,000? 1 or 1,000,000? I mean, friend, there's no way we could ever be good enough to get to heaven. But I tell you what, listen, when I got saved, I said, God, I'm just going to be along for the ride. That's what salvation's all about. And friend, God will teach you how to fly. That's what we were born to do. Now, I'll be honest with you, there's not a day that goes by in my life that my heart doesn't long to see those high places. I don't know about you this morning, friend, but I want to know what it's like to have the power of God. I want to know what it's like to get my prayers answered. Don't you? I mean, friend, what do you want out of your Christian life? There's more to it than just coming to church. There's more to it than just being faithful. Friend, don't get me wrong, that's important, and you should be faithful. But friend, I don't want to live my Christian life just going through the motions, just living by some kind of religion. I want to live my Christian life with the fullness of God's power in my life. I want those high places. I want to know just how high and how far God can take me. I definitely don't want to look back at the end of my life and say that I've never flown. You can close your Bibles and look this way. I want you to think about something. I want us to pretend tomorrow morning you wake up, you get a phone call from one of these local banks. The banker says, Mr. So-and-so, I need you to come down to the bank this morning. Somebody has come in and they have opened up an account, and you are the sole beneficiary of this account. And so we need to come down and discuss the details. Well, you show up at the bank and you say, all right, man, what's the deal? And this is what he says. He says, this account has been opened up and you're the only one that can access the money. You're the only one that can spend it. In every day of your life, $86,000. Is going to be deposited into that account. And he said, here's the catch. It's always a catch, amen. He said, here's the catch. You have to spend the money every day. All of it. All $86,000. He said, because if you don't, every night at midnight, that account's going to be wiped clean. And you'll either use that money or you'll lose that money. He says you can't save any of it. You can't put any into a savings account. You can't hold off any for tomorrow. You can't go off into the future and pull back any for today. He said you've got to use it or you'll lose it. He said the next morning when you wake up, $86,000 will be there again. Sound like an account you'd like to have? I think I could find a way to spend that kind of money. Hey, listen, friend, you've got one. You've got one. But what you have is more precious than dollars and cents and gold. Every day of your life, every morning when you wake up, the great God of heaven comes down and he puts 86,000 seconds into your account. And friend, you can't save any for tomorrow. You can't go off in the future and pull back any for today. You can't save them for later. You've got to use all of them. And if you don't use them, you'll lose them. Friend, I don't know about you, but I've already lost enough. I want to spend the rest of my time, the rest of my life, serving God, doing what God wants me to do. An eaglet in its downy nest surveyed the scene below and asked with animated zest, oh, mother, I would know, will I someday begin to fly as far and high as you? The answer came, of course you'll fly, for that's what eagles do. High born you are, and high you'll stay, and higher still you'll go, and never know an earthbound day, nor crawling to and fro, now dashing down, now soaring high, now floating on the air, now flying where you will to fly, now free to do and dare. Your eyes will view the vast domain, and nothing will you fear. Even lions will admit your reign when your great wings appear. Be angry in your sovereignty. Be fierce and claim your own. Fight bravely, independently. Fight bravely, fight alone. Your spreading wings, your angry eyes, your talons and curving beak are symbols all where freedom cries and independence speaks. With strength to flay the largest foe that threatens little ones, with rage and cry, you'll let them know that you'll protect your sons. I'll take the down from out the nest and let the thorns protrude. I'll let the thorns disturb your nest and halt your nesting mood. Then soon you'll climb upon the edge and stretch your pinions out. You'll totter on the eerie ledge and ponder space and doubt. And then with a wing I'll knock you off to flap and fly. And with a swoop I'll pick you up and never mind your cry. I'll put you on the perch again and knock you off the nest, to see if you can stand the strain and stand the acid test. I'll give you an opportunity to prove that you can fly, and then a final chance to see if you will fly or die. I'd rather rugged, jagged rocks would claim you as their own than bear the taunts and jeers and mocks that say you've never flown. But fly you must, and fly you will, and conquer gravity, and never know, and know the zephyr's golden thrill, and fly for all to see. My eagle son, this word I give, keep looking to the sky. For though an eagle flies to live, an eagle lives to fly. Friend, it's our time to start doing what God wants us to do. It's our day in the sun, man. We need to do the things that God already knows we're capable of doing. We need to be what God already knows we can be. We need to ride those high places, soar with those eagles, and take the baton that is in our hand and run our race, and run and not look back and not quit and not worry what anybody thinks about us, but run! Make God proud. Amen. Listen, friend, I want to know about those high places. I want to know that I'm right smack dab in the will of God. I want to know that I am serving Him, and that He is has His approval upon my life. Friend, there's nothing more important than that. I definitely don't want to look back on the end of my life and wonder what I could have done for the Lord. Preacher, I don't want to look back and wonder, boy, I wonder if we could have ever started a revival in America. I don't want to lay on my deathbed and wonder, boy, I wonder how many people I could have gotten saved had I tried. Man, I want to look back on my life and say, man, I soared with the eagles. Man, I rode the high places with God. That's what I want to do. Amen. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed.